The game has been played, and the rewatch has ensued. I've got notes. I've got little Caner grades to hand out. Going to continue to reflect on Tennessee's 59-10 win over Ball State to open the 2022 campaign. All that here on a Monday, Locked On Ball.
You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Monday edition of Locked On Vols, your team every single day. That's a part of Locked On Podcast Network. And, of course, this is your go-to podcast for Tennessee athletics. This is Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Hey, we are 1 week into the college football season. I know we got a game coming up later today as well. We had one last night, had tons on Saturday, had a couple on Friday. Of course, we had some on Thursday, including Tennessee. We are inside college football. That's not a little weird to say. It's a little office reference, I guess. But the college football season is here. How you feeling? I mean, this is what we do, folks. This is why we're crazy. Fan, short for fanatic, college football. And, of course, we're going to discuss a lot more about Tennessee's win. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to Friday's show of big-time numbers on YouTube and on the audio side. Can't thank you enough. A little bit delirious there. That was pulling an all-nighter. I've gotten some sleep, and we've watched the tape. We're going to get into it here today. We're going to hear from those scoring calls courtesy of the Vol Radio Network. I do have written permission from the Vol Radio Network to play that audio, so I wanted to get that out there in the open as well. And we're going to take a look at around college football, recapping week one of the weekend. So a whole lot of fun coming up here today. So thank you guys so much. Don't forget Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow, and continue to subscribe and follow us wherever you find your podcast and on YouTube. Thank you guys so much for that. All right, so after the review, I've got some notes, and this is my review. I have not gone into the PFF grades just yet. I'm not going to lie. I glanced just a little bit. We'll get into that probably either tomorrow or on Wednesday's show. I know a lot of you guys love when we brought PFF onto the show. We're going to do that again this year. That's coming up either tomorrow or on Wednesday's show. But tomorrow, again, this is a good segue. Twitter Tuesday, any questions, comments, concerns after week one, whatever you got, _ Caner at Locked On Vols. At Caner on Air, you can DM me. You can find a way to get them to me. Comment on the YouTube channel as well. I'll find those. So any questions you guys have coming up tomorrow on the show. All right, so I watched the tape. I made some notes. Overall, again, like I said on Friday, this is exactly what Tennessee was supposed to do, exactly what the Volunteers were supposed to do, 59-10 over Ball State, an inferior opponent. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. There are some things, pass rush to clean up, not getting home to the quarterback, not a whole lot of tackles for loss, as we mentioned. Hendon Hooker, I didn't think, again, even after the review, I'm staying with my gut. I don't think he threw the ball awfully well. I think he was a little inaccurate at times. But, again, stats don't lie. Look at the stats. He played two quarters and a drive, and he accounted for four total touchdowns, completed over 70% of his passes. So, I mean, he was fine. I mean, he really was fine. Third downs got better and all that. But this is exactly what Tennessee was supposed to do, okay? Exactly what Tennessee was supposed to do. Is it as exciting as Florida knocking off a top 10 team in Billy Napier's debut? Oh, yeah. I've heard the fallout. Tennessee fans are going wild, and I get it. That was a really good win for Florida. Adds a little spice and sizzle coming up for later in this month as well, as Florida will play Kentucky this week, but, of course, the Volunteers in 2 weeks. But it was exactly what Tennessee needed. Now the test starts with Pitt coming up this week. But first, a look back at the film. Some inactive, some players that didn't play in this football game. Miles Campbell, Chaz Nimrod, D. Williams, Sean Rucker, and Juwan Mitchell. Hopefully we'll get some more on those statuses as the week goes on. Hopefully coming up today in Josh Heupel's press conference. Also, happy Labor Day, everybody. We'll try to get some notes on you know, when those guys might be back in the fold and if anything's anything to worry about there. As far as Juwan Mitchell, I don't think there's anything to worry about there. I don't expect him to be out for a long time, but we'll have to see. Some standouts. These are my standouts when watching the tape. Guys who stood out, who jumped off the tape. Again, Aaron Beasley, guys. He got recorded for 8 tackles. I think he had 12 or 13 tackles. We'll see what PFF has him at on tomorrow's show. But I think Aaron Beasley had more than 8 tackles. He was all over the place. Joshua Joseph flashed, the freshman off the edge at Leo. But defensive tackle Deshaun Terry played pretty well, played above the line a lot of the times. Kamal Haddon, of course, he's just a playmaker, man. He needs to stay healthy. I think he's Tennessee's best cornerback. I truly do. Jabari Small and Jalen Wright, they ran hard. They ran really hard. Both got 13 carries. I like the way they're running the football, especially Jabari Small. I really, really do. Hendon Hooker, again, a little inaccurate at times, but overall had a really, really strong game. Cedric Tillman led the team in targets, led the team in receptions. Didn't find the end zone, but had a really good catch in the end zone that he was. They called him out, but, man, that was a great catch. Actually, statistically, it wasn't a catch, but you know what I'm saying. Brew McCoy played well, did the most of his opportunities. I think he went 3 receptions for 42 yards. Andre Turrentine is a guy that flashed on special teams. He was flying down the field on kickoff. Had a couple of tackles on kickoff. I think Jordan Thomas, the freshman, he also had a kickoff tackle as well. But Andre Turrentine really jumped off the page in terms of special teams to me. And then offensive tackle, Gerald Mincy. I think he outplayed Jeremiah Crawford the other day. Of course, Gerald Mincy got the start. He had a lot of kickoff blocks that looked really, really clean. We'll see if he gets the start this week at Pittsburgh. We'll see what Josh Heupel says about that left tackle battle after he's watched the tape, after he's had a chance to sit down and talk with his coaching staff. Hopefully that'll come up later today. But I thought Gerald Mincy played well. J.J. Crawford didn't play bad. I'm not saying he played poorly. I'm just saying I think J.J. Crawford played pretty – or I think Gerald Mincy played pretty well. So if you go to ballquest.com, again, guys, thanks so much for making the transition over the On3 Network success. It was game day and, you know, not the ideal time to transition home sites. But, man, you guys made it a smashing success. Inviting all Tennessee fans, $1 for 1 year at ballquest.com. Join the On3 Network. All Tennessee fans, every single one of you who wants to come and hang out. It's been a whole lot of fun. I've got my film review, calling it Tape Check. That's over at ballquest.com if you want to go check it out. So, you know, pay the dollar and go read the article and read every single article for the next year. I broke it down quarter by quarter, and Tennessee just dominated, obviously. But if you look at the first quarter, Tennessee, 4 drives, 3 touchdowns, 1 field goal, 28 plays, 179 yards, averaging time of possession was just under 7 minutes. Average starting position was at the opponent 49. Tennessee was 1-4 on third downs, but 2-2 on fourth downs. Okay, that was Tennessee's drive chart. Look at Ball State's drive chart in the first quarter. 4 drives, no points, 1 interception, 2 turnovers on downs, 1 punt, 20 plays, 60 yards, possessed the football for 8 minutes and 3 seconds. Average starting position, whereas Tennessee averaged its starting position on the plus side of the field of the 49, Ball State averaged starting position on its own 24. 2-5 on third downs, as we mentioned Friday. They started 2-2, but Tennessee slammed the door shut there the rest of the quarter, and then 0-2 on fourth down. So, obviously, the start of the football game, huge for Tennessee. Interception to Mary McDonald, first play of the game, goes off to Jalen Hyatt, and he looked really, really good. Broke off that wheel route. That's that chemistry. You can tell that those two guys, Hooker, Hyatt, have been working together this offseason. The confidence to break off the wheel route, come back, catch, and then get in the end zone, that looked really, really good. Gerald Mincy got the start on the first 2 series of left tackle, had a really nice kickout block in drive 2 that sprung a run. Only took 2 series for all 3 wideouts to get involved. That's the starting wideouts and Cedric Tillman. Jalen Hyatt, of course, had the touchdown catch on the first play from scrimmage. And then Cedric Tillman and Brew McCoy each had first down receptions by drive 2. So I thought that looked pretty good. Prince of Fans did have a drop on third down. I think that was in drive 3 of the game, but overall, drive 2 of the game, that's when Tennessee settled for a field goal. That's really one of the only downfalls, I think, of this quarter. Hooker scored on the ground in quarter 1 defensively. Tennessee came out, did great. Of course, the interception on play 1 from McDonald. Aaron Beasley all over the place. Tennessee struggled on third downs, then got better as the quarter went on. Elijah Herring came in. They would take the star out, and that being Tamari McDonald, put another linebacker in third and fourth down situations to get after the quarterback. That was Elijah Herring. So that was good to see a true freshman getting in there, getting a whole lot of run to kind of kick some things off right there. Tennessee emptied the bench, of course, played a lot of key reserves in quarter 1. The ones I noted, Herring, Josephs, Pat Garland, Solon Page, Bryce Neeson, Dominic Bailey, Kamal Haddon on offense, J.J. Crawford, Romel Keaton, Walker Merrill, Squirrel White, and Jalen Wright. So first quarter was off and running. Tennessee, of course, led. What was it, 17-0? Tennessee increased its lead by double and then some, 38-0 in the second quarter. Tennessee went 4 drives, 2 touchdowns, 1 punt, 18 plays, 112 yards. Possessed the football for 6-15. Average starting position at their own 30, but they were 1-2 on third downs. And you had Hooker running for another touchdown in this quarter. You had Jabari Small scoring on a 7-yard touchdown. You're going to hear this from the Vol Radio Network here in a minute, but he just kept his feet churning. And Javonte Spraggins ended up pulling him into the end zone, which, again, is illegal, but, hey, they didn't call it. That was a lot of fun to see. And then, you know, Hooker, mobility out of the pocket, finds Walker Merrill in the middle of the end zone there. That was good. Those were some of the scores from the second quarter. And then, you know, again, Tennessee started subbing in a lot of players on defense as well in the second quarter. I think Warren Burrell made a really nice third down stop running all over the field. They were sending guys in motion to man coverage, tackling the guy before the sticks. I understand a lot of you guys are picking on Warren Burrell, and as are the other teams. They watched the tape as well, but I thought it didn't look in review as bad as maybe it felt real time, just because you're having PSD from, obviously, the Music City Bowl. I understand that. I thought Warren Burrell was okay. We'll check the PFF grades coming up later in the week, but I thought he was okay, though they did pick on him. I understand that. You know, Tennessee led at the half. What was it, 38-0? Tennessee increased that to 52-7 in the third quarter, getting in Dylan Sampson at running back. Joe Milton came in. He was perfect on the night except for one pass, a little high. Hunter Salmon, I believe, should have caught that in the end zone. Darnell Wright, you know, Tennessee, they love to pull those tackles and kick out and then spring the run up the middle. Darnell Wright had a good kick-out block in the third quarter that I noted. And then, you know, pretty much everybody got in there towards the end of the football game. Gaston Moore got in there. Navy Shuler got in there. Of course, Taven Jackson, the true freshman, got in there. Jackson and Justin Williams-Thomas, it was a fumble. It wasn't a little bit of a fumble. It was a fumble on the exchange. That was Tennessee's only turnover on the game. I said on Friday's show Tennessee didn't punt. My guy Overthrow Joe on Twitter was like, bro, get some sleep. Tennessee punted twice. And about got one block. They got to tighten that up for sure. Nonetheless, this was a game Tennessee should have won. I've got more and more notes at ballquest.com if you want to check them out. But this is exactly what Tennessee should have done. And they need to watch the tape like I did, learn from it, get back to the practice field. And we're going to continue to look at Pitt all week long. And, you know, we'll break down the Panthers and everything. I'm going to have a first-glance series coming out later today at BallQuest.com looking at Pitt. So you can check that out as well. So plenty of stuff to come up at BallQuest.com and right here on Locked On Balls podcast as the week goes on. Tennessee is 1-0 on the season. And, gosh, I'm so excited. It's football season. I know you guys are as well. When we come back, we're going to hear those scoring plays from the Ball Radio Network. Do have written permission. Again, going to stress that. YouTube likes to get me in trouble. And we're going to hear from that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But first, guys, you know what time it is. Built Bar, Built Bar Puffs. You haven't tried them so yet. You're truly depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? The new flavor, ready? It's delicious cookie dough. Covered in chocolate, that's right, Built has done it again. You guys know me. Cookie dough is my favorite flavor. Let me introduce you to the new cookie dough chunk puffs that have light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. How so? Well, cookie dough chunks are only 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com, snag a box for yourself and for the family. It's a perfect treat, or you can find it a really good hiding places to hoard them all for yourself. Like all the Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty for you. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So, so good. All right, so where to find them, where to find all the Built Bars, that's at Built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is all at Built.com. Welcome back into it, your Monday edition of Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane. I am a part of the VolQuest.com side over the new On3 network, so you guys can all come and hang out with me over there. I used to do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now I am I'm still right here. This is my platform here on Locked On Vols, and I'm so happy to be here. You know, I had that intro down pat because I did it for, you know, ever since I took this podcast over from Josh for almost 2 years now. It's going to take some time to get the use of that new intro, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Guys, so happy to be here on Locked On Balls. Happy to have you guys here on Locked On Balls. We kind of went over some of my notes from Tennessee's win over Ball State. We'll look at PFF grades for later in the week. But let's hear those scoring plays from Tennessee in the 59-10 win over Ball State. Something you guys love is when I bring that audio onto the podcast, courtesy of the Ball Radio Network. And going to do it again this year, guys. There's a lot of them, so let's go ahead and get into it. Courtesy of the Ball Radio Network, play-by-play guy Bob Kessling, and so many others in that great booth, including our own guy Brent Hubbs. And here we go. Let's get started. Tennessee on play number one, it was the interception from Tamari McDonald that set up the balls at the plus 23-yard line. And on play number one, Hendon Hooker finds Jalen Hyatt.
Two wideouts on either side. To the boundary. They send Fant in motion. They're going to fire wide open down at the 8-yard line. It's complete, getting to the goal line, and diving it is Jalen Hyatt for a Tennessee touchdown. There's a penalty flag down, but that's going to be against Ball State as Hendon Hooker on his very first pass this year hits Jalen Hyatt for a Tennessee touchdown.
Tennessee makes a stop on defense, gets the football back, drives down the field, eight plays, 46 yards. And that's when Princeton Fan had that drop I was talking about on third down. Tennessee ultimately settles for a field goal. Chase McGrath is good from 33 yards away. So Tennessee leads 10-0. Later in the first quarter, Hendon Hooker on the goal line, the first of two rushing touchdowns, eight plays, 34 yards. Hendon Hooker 1 yard to pay dirt.
Second goal at the one. This time Hooker's going to fake and keep it, roll around to the left and dance into the checkerboards for a Tennessee touchdown. Hendon Hooker takes off around the left end after a play fake to Jabari Small, and Tennessee now leads Ball State 16-0.
Really like this play from Hendon Hooker. What he's doing on this one and on the touchdown he'll score, we'll hear him here in just a moment. He's on the goal line, and he's taking it. It's a read option. He's looking at the end man on the line of scrimmage. This time it was the defensive end. A lot of times it'll be a stand-up outside backer, and he's looking to see if the quarterback or if the guy on the end man is staying out to take the quarterback or crashing down to take the dive, which would be the give to the running back. The end man takes the dive both times, and Hooker just pulls it and goes. And so I really like the heads up and the readability, if you will, from Hendon Hooker. On that note, again, in the second quarter, Hendon Hooker in that same situation again on the goal line. This time he keeps it, 3 yard rush. It was a kickoff block from Princeton Fan, kind of olayed the guy, but ultimately kind of had a lead blocker in there to the end zone. And Tennessee goes up 24-0 off Hendon Hooker's second rushing touchdown of the ballgame.
Second down and goal. Hendon Hooker. He's going to fake, keep it, dance around the left side, into the checkerboards for his second rushing touchdown of the night. Brilliant fake to Jabari Small. The entire Ball State defensive line converged on him. Hooker then pulled it out, took around the left end, and danced in for the touchdown. And again, Tennessee's offense really clicking.
So Tennessee leads 24-0. Fast forward about almost 10 minutes later into the second quarter. Tennessee gets on the scoreboard again, 31-0. Jabari Small caps a six-play, 53-yard drive. And I don't want to say it's my favorite play of the game because I think the opening interception was pretty good from T-Mac. But Jabari Small's run, this is one of my favorite plays of the game. He just keeps going and going and going and going. And I'm shocked they didn't blow the play dead. He just kept going and going into the end zone. Here's how you heard it on the Ball Radio Network from Bob Kesslin.
Second down and five. Hooker hands off Jabari Small. Powers his way down to the 3 yard line, fighting for a first down. Mm-hmm. They shove him all the way close to the end zone, waiting for a sign. Touchdown, Tennessee. They just got Jabari Small and a bunch of the big guys, and they just shove Ball State right into the end zone, and Jabari Small gets the rushing touchdown.
After another defensive stop, Tennessee gets the football back and trying to operate its two-minute offense just before the half. And Tennessee does find the end zone. It goes 62 yards on eight plays, 2:34 off the clock. 38-0 was the halftime score because of this really nice play. Hendon Hooker evading, we talked about this on Friday, evading pressure, getting out of the pocket, that pocket mobility Hendon talked about in postgame, finding Walker Morrell, who was wide open, believe the DB fell, but still wide open in the end zone. His first touchdown of his Tennessee career as a sophomore. And here's how it sounded on the Ball Radio Network.
Hooker gets the snap, back to throw. Plenty of time. Looks, fires for the end zone. Man, wide open. That's a Tennessee touchdown. Walker Merrill made a nice move. Came wide open right at the post. And the touchdown throw goes to Walker Merrill. His first touchdown as a Tennessee Volunteer. And Hendon Hooker right on target again, and Merrill made a great move to get wide open in the end zone.
So Tennessee comes out, receives the kickoff to begin the second half, and hits the run game. I think Jalen Wright, I can't remember what I put in my notes, I think he had 7 or 8 touches total on this 11-play drive. 11 plays, 94 yards, just 3:02 off the clock, guys. Jalen Wright concludes this long opening drive of the second half with a 3-yard touchdown plunge to make it 45-0.
Tennessee first and goal, handoff right again. This time he fights his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. Jalen Wright caps off an impressive opening drive here in the third quarter as Tennessee goes 94 yards. Wright caps it off with a 3-yard rushing touchdown, and Tennessee now leads Ball State 44-0.
And then from there, offensively, you saw the second unit come in, the second string offensive line, along with J.J. Crawford, who was still, you know, he and Gerald Mincy were, you know, going match by match in terms of drives, in terms of trying to get the total play count, stuff like that. So J.J. Crawford was in there for a little bit with the second units. But it was Joe Milton. It was Dylan Sampson. It was a lot of guys coming in, the Ramel Keatons, the Jimmy Holidays, the Jimmy Callaways, the Squirrel Whites, those type of people, the Grant Perkins later on. And so it was the second string offense. Prior to their first series as a unit, Tennessee did give up a touchdown. It was 10 plays, 75 yards, going the length of the field. And for the most part, Tennessee's first-team defense was still in there, at least the first-string secondary. They were rotating guys within the front seven. But this was pretty much the only score. I know they had a field goal later that Ball State was able to muster all game long. The guy, Cazzoli or whatever his name is, anyway, three-yard touchdown pass from John Paddock, and that made it 45-7 at the time. But once the second stringers got in, Dylan Sampson, Sam Deshaun, thought he looked pretty good. Of course, there's some things to clean up. Never was really tested in terms of pass pro. Thought he ran pretty hard, was patient. That's something that I remember sitting up in the press box noticing. He was very patient, waiting for his blockers to get in front of him. He caps off a scoring play that went 13 plays, 78 yards. That's another thing that I like about this game. Tennessee, 10-plus plays that ended in scores. 8 plays on a scoring drive earlier, 11 plays, 6 plays. You had 8 plays again, 11 plays. So this is another 11. This is another 10-plus scoring drive. This one went 13 plays. So the second 10-plus play scoring drive of the day, but still, Dylan Sampson, 2-yard touchdown plunge, his first of his Volunteer career.
Hands off, head down, Sampson piles into the end zone for his first Tennessee touchdown. Dylan Sampson scores. And the Volunteers cap off the drive engineered by Joe Milton. And Sampson did a lot of the work. And the Volunteers now lead Ball State 51-7.
And then finally, the last touchdown of the ball game came courtesy of Joe Milton to Jimmy Holiday. A really nice skinny post. Milton put it on a line across the middle of the field. And then Holiday was able to just scoot on up the field around that safety. It was no match for Jimmy Holiday, showing off the jets, right? And a really, really good speed demon in Jimmy Holiday. And again, here's how it sounded, but I want to say great throw from Joe Milton. Really, really nice touch. I'll take that back. A laser throw over the middle, but it needed to be a laser throw over the middle for this play to happen. Here's how it sounded from Bob Kessling, Ball Radio Network.
Tennessee leading 52-7, and Milton fires over the middle to Holiday. He gets to the 20, to the 10, crank up Rocky Top, touchdown, Tennessee. Holiday came open right over the middle, and Joe Milton caught him. Hit him right in stride, and Holiday takes it in for a 53-yard touchdown.
Ball State would add a field goal from a short field, getting off that fumble, the exchange from Taven Jackson and Justin Williams-Thomas. That came with just under 3 minutes left in the ball game, but Tennessee holds on for the 59-10 win over Ball State. That's how it sounded on the Ball Radio Network. All right, what about the rest of college football over the weekend, the rest of the SEC? A lot of fun games, a lot of fun, exciting ball games around the SEC as well. We're going to get my thoughts on those coming up next here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, welcome back to this edition of Locked On Vols, your Monday edition. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Don't forget, we have Twitter Tuesday. Hey-o, that's coming up tomorrow on the show. But right now, we continue to reflect on Tennessee's 59-10 win over Ball State and look around the SEC and college football for some other scores that caught our eyes. Of course, Tennessee 59-10, that came on Thursday. You had Vanderbilt, who just got off that win against Hawaii a week ago, 63-10. They came all the way back to Nashville and looked good again, man. I mean, you talk about a lot of travel, talk about a lot of miles over the course of the last 10, 12 days or so. But Vanderbilt, no issues at all with Elon, 42-31. I say no issues, 31 points from Elon's not great, okay? But still, you had Mike Wright, who accounted for, gosh, I want to say 5 or 6 touchdowns. He's a good ball player. He really is. But 42-31, the winner for Vanderbilt in now. And Mississippi State over Memphis, 49-23. Will Rogers threw for 450 yards and 5 touchdowns. Goodness gracious, he can play some ball. A lot of people call him a system quarterback. I don't care. If you throw for over 400 yards in a game and 4 to 5 touchdowns, call him whatever you want, right? 49-23, Mississippi State over Memphis. South Carolina looked very blah if you look at the stat sheet. They won over Georgia State 35-14. And I've seen the tweets. I saw the audio. Shane Beamer maybe trolling Tennessee a little bit, saying, you know, we feel really good after this game. I know a lot of guys around the SEC have played these guys and are not feeling as good as we are after this game is what it is. I don't think it was an intentional deep jab, but you can take it as a troll or whatever. But I didn't think South Carolina looked good. Spencer Rattler had one touchdown, two picks. He was only 23 of 37, 227 through the air. Georgia State's a ball club that'll, you know, they're not afraid of anybody, obviously, with Coach Elliott there. But 35-14, the final score, South Carolina over Georgia State. Auburn, 42-16, big win over Mercer. T.J. Finley got the starting quarterback, but it was the Tank Bigsby show for Auburn. 16 carries, 147 yards, and two touchdowns. That guy is a good running back in the SEC, but obviously Auburn not challenged there. Ole Miss, 28-10 over Troy. I mean, you know, they're figuring it out. Got a whole lot of newcomers in this one. Jackson Dart got the starting quarterback for Ole Miss. He was okay, but Zach Evans, the transfer running back from TCU. If you follow Tennessee recruiting, of course, you know that name. 20 carries, 130 yards in his Ole Miss debut. He had a really, really good game. But 28-10 over Troy, you know, it is what it is, right? But they got the win. Kentucky over Miami of Ohio, 37-13. Will Levis, 21-32 on the day, 303, three touchdowns through the air as well. Of course, there was no Chris Rodriguez in this ball game, serving a suspension. But 37-13, Kentucky, no issues with Miami of Ohio. One of the better games on Saturday, Cincinnati and Arkansas, was a matchup of 19-23. Arkansas, the better football team throughout this one. That was evident. They led throughout, 31-24, the final score. Thought that quarterback from Eastern Michigan that transferred to Cincinnati had the bad play right there in the first quarter, but he rebounded, played pretty well, threw for over three bills, two touchdowns. But K.J. Jefferson, good game on the ground, good game through the air, and Auburn able to win over a team like Cincinnati that obviously lost a lot from the college football playoff days just a year ago, but still a team that will get you, and there's a reason they're ranked inside the AP Top 25. Florida and Utah. All right, guys, I know a lot of people are saying, hey, we're discounting Florida. Oh, my goodness, we overlook Florida. You know, maybe I'm guilty of that as well. I've remained to say the entire time that if you just assume Tennessee's going to be Florida this year, you're a fool. Look at the series record the last 17 years, right? Florida's got a good roster in terms of they've got talented guys. Not a whole lot of depth, but they've got talented guys. Anthony Richardson, not a world beater throwing the football, but he's just a good college football player. He looked good running the football. Man. And Florida able to get that turnover late to hold on and pull out a three-point win over number 7 Utah, 29-26. We can get into this more later. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, look at Josh Heupel still looking for a signature win when Billy Napier got it in his first action as Florida coach. I get it, but same sense, a little bit of a different situation here, I'm not going to lie. A&M 31-0 over Sam Houston. Haynes King had a monster game, 20-31, three touchdowns. Over 300 yards. And then you get to the heavy hitters. Alabama 55-0 over Utah State. Not even going to get into that one. And Georgia 49-3. Oh, my goodness. Georgia looks really, really good. And Stetson Bennett looked really, really good. Oregon overhyped. I get it. Bo Nix sucks. I get it. But, oh, my goodness. That was still the 11th ranked team in the country. And Georgia just looked like it didn't miss a freaking beat. So, anyway, Friday night, Missouri, or Thursday night, Missouri 52-24 with Louisiana Tech. That's a look around the SEC. Quickly around college football as we kind of bring this edition of Locked On Balls to a close. If I can get my clicker here to work. Michigan State won on Friday, 35-13 over Western Michigan. No surprise there. Ohio State able to prevail over Notre Dame. Notre Dame led 10-7 in the second quarter and then didn't score again. Ohio State 21-10. That's a really nice matchup against 2-5. You know, Michigan, no issues with Colorado State. I'll watch some of that game. Blah. Jeff Lebby and what's his name? The quarterback for Oklahoma, blanking the dude from UCF. Anyway, they look good. 45-13 over UTEP. Eric Gray, former Vol, 16 carries, 102 yards for Oklahoma on Saturday in that one. NC State, East Carolina. Oh, I was watching that game. If you weren't, I feel sorry for you. That's why we love college football. But that's why we feel bad for kickers. Oh, my goodness, that kicker, who's a good one, they kept saying on the broadcast, beat Air Force last year with a 54-yarder. He missed an extra point because the laces were turned in, and then he missed what would have been a game-winning field goal. 21-20, NC State, number 13 in the country, prevails over East Carolina in an in-state rivalry game. Southern Cal, blew past Rice, 66-14. Miami, 70 points against Bethune-Cookman. Wisconsin shuts out Illinois. And then in a game like Wake Forest and North Carolina and Appalachian State, that had like the 61-63-62 final or whatever. That was insane, right? That's why we love college football. But then you had Iowa and Iowa and whoever they played, and that was a 7-3 final. What a dud, right? But that is why we love college football. We are a week in, folks. Congratulations. As you can tell, I love talking college football. It is so much fun, and we'll continue to do that. A little bit more notes on Tennessee and Ball State, and look ahead to Pittsburgh as the week goes on right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow. Don't forget, give me your questions, your comments, whatever you got, at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. So subscribe anywhere you find this podcast. Comment on the YouTube page if you have any Twitter Tuesdays. And as always, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022. It's an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining to one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you find your podcast. All right, boys and girls, appreciate it. One show down. We got four more for the rest of the week. Subscribe and follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and give me a follow at _Caner. Can't thank you enough. Same time, same place for Twitter Tuesday coming up tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody.